Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sedano, Kalischuk, Dennis Clark, Donovan Mitchell, always be closing. Game 6 and Game 7, 89 points. Second most in a 6 and a 7 in NBA playoff history. Cavs advance. Anybody know who has the record for most combined points in 6 and 7?
Jordan.
Incorrect. I'm looking for an answer. I'm looking for an answer. Yes, Dennis. Kalischuk's got it too. Also, T-Wolves, things to do in Denver when you're up 1-0. The starry, starry night in Dallas. And those gorgeous photo finishes. Let's talk it all around the horn.
Look at that.
I need to give some guys some points, Tony. Yeah. It's a big NBA show. I got
Allen
this one,
Iverson.
I think.
He had 90 in a Game 6 and Game 7. Conference Finals with the Sixers. We'll get to that in a second. Denver Nuggets did not trail any series last year on the way to their championship. So what Minnesota did in Game 1, nobody has done against Denver. And what Minnesota's done this postseason, 5-0 with edge and aplomb, a near-perfect second half. They're putting together an anthology tonight in Denver, Game 2. Tim Kalischuk, around the horn to you. How much pressure is on the Nuggets tonight, and what adjustments do they need to make to handle it?
Oh, I think there's a lot of pressure. You can't go down 0-2 in the NBA and realistically at home and realistically have a chance. They have to recognize that the T-Wolves that we've known for about 30 years, they're gone. This team's for real. They have size. Denver might want to try getting more than 3 offensive rebounds in this game. They actually shot pretty well, shot over 40% from 3. But if you're not getting to the boards at all, you're never getting second chance points. And maybe Rudy Gobert's status tonight, questionable, means they have a little easier path to the boards. They got to play better. And I think being down will help, but they're in for a much tougher fight than the Lakers game.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, this is a big game. They have to win this game. It's not just because of the 2-0 and the championship sort of luster that they may be losing. They have some fundamental issues that they need to clean up against this Wolves team, namely the fact that they cannot stop Ant. The KCP on him was a non-starter. They tried to put Gordon on him, and he cooked him in the fourth quarter. And on the other side, Rudy Gobert is causing Jokic some problems. The stat line looked great. Those 7 turnovers, that's a lot of turnovers for Jokic. He was, disrupting some of
those
lob
passes. Look at Sedano's face. He's not buying it. You're not convincing him.
Rudy Gobert was a plus 20 in game 1.
No.
Of course, Jokic is Jokic. But if that defense is going to cause them some problems, that is something that the Nuggets have to fix.
George, I'll go to you now.
Tony, let's start with this. To Tim Kalischuk, I do simply remember a series you and I were both at in 2006 where the home team won the first 2 games and then lost 4 straight, if I recall that correctly.
I don't remember that.
Between the
I don't remember
and
anything
the
about that.
So I do remember that. Also, Tony, the difference with Rudy Gobert, it's not his defense on Jokic. Jokic was actually really good against Rudy Gobert as he was the closest defender. It was when Rudy Gobert was allowed to roam. Chris Finch has done a fantastic job over the last year or so to basically tell Rudy Gobert, stop being so comfortable in the drop. If we're going to be successful and you're going to be successful as a defender, you got to be able to roam and guard outside of your comfort zone in the paint. That's when he created havoc against the Denver Nuggets, who shot poorly when Gobert was roaming, and Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns were the ones that gave Jokic the biggest problem. So, with that said, I do think that the Denver Nuggets starting 5, which to me is still the best starting 5, shot horribly in that. Okay? If Gobert plays, I actually think they will try to switch on Jokic onto Gobert to create more problems. Because to me, that is where Jokic was at his best, is when Gobert was the one covering him.
Kevin Clark.
They're under an unbelievable amount of pressure because if Anthony Edwards takes control of this conference in this game, in this postseason, he is not giving it back. The stat for me is that in game 1, heavily contested jumpers, Anthony Edwards was 7 of 10. Most guys don't shoot with that kind of efficiency when they're wide open. He is the best player at that in this postseason, not surprisingly. The ground shifts below your feet very quickly in the NBA, and a player like Anthony Edwards relegates great teams like the Nuggets to minor characters very quickly. We might be seeing history here. The Nuggets need to take control or else.
Ooh, or else. So it sounds like I'm hearing this is a must-win game for Denver from Clark, from Dennis, from Kalishaw, but not Sedano.
Oh,
no,
because
no,
in 2006, if there's 18 years Tony, ago, one time, it didn't matter. That's why it doesn't
no, no,
matter.
No, 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 no. First of all, it's not one time. But if there's any team that is capable of winning four out of five that I would feel comfortable saying they can do it, it's this Denver team. Mm-hmm.
We'll move on. Pacers-Knicks, game one tonight at the Garden. You know, it's a collision of styles and maybe teams who felt they've been overlooked a little bit on the injury report. Tyrese Halliburton, questionable. So that looks like a game-time decision. So both games tonight have key players, game-time decision. Kevin Clark around the horn to you. The number one thing you're watching that will decide tonight's game one.
Is there any answer for Jalen Brunson with any of the Indiana rotation? He averaged 35 points per game in the regular season. I just don't see a matchup. I saw some of the morning shows say Aaron Nesmith might be an option there. I just don't see it. He got in foul trouble against Brunson during the regular season. According to my sources, and by that I mean I ran into Brian Windhorst in the hall here, this is going to come down to rebounding. Can the Pacers get the ball enough to actually run with it? Because the Knicks are going to be physical. They're great on the offensive boards. I think it's Brunson. I think it's rebounding. I don't see much of a path forward for the Pacers.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Windhorst those points when he stops by next time. And now David Dennis Jr., the number one thing that decides tonight.
Well, I didn't run into Brian Windhorst a few minutes ago, but I will, agree that the rebounding is huge. The Knicks had a 36% offensive rebounding rate in the first round, and they seem to be able to, replicate that in the second round. But this series is going to come down to defense and pace, namely the Pacers' lack of defense and the fact that even though they played a Milwaukee team that did not have Giannis, that had Dame only half the time, they had the fifth worst defense in the first round, and they allowed the most points in the paint. Jalen Brunson, that Knicks team are going to run wild on that defense. Now, the only saving grace for the Pacers is their pace of play. They have a deeper bench. If they can, they have the number one pace in the league. And if they can run those Knicks and get them tired as the series goes on, they may have a shot. But, this is about the Knicks, I think.
Tim Kalishaw.
Sedano didn't mention whether Bennett Salvatore is showing up for Denver like he did for Miami. But we'll put that aside.
Danny Crawford.
Let's go back to this series. Him too, Danny Crawford. Where was I? Tyrese Halliburton. That's what I want to see. And David just touched on it. They are going to run. Tyrese Halliburton put on a show. Remember that in-season tournament we thought was a big deal whenever that was? That's when everybody found out about Tyrese Halliburton when they went to the finals against L.A., that matchup with Jalen Brunson is a terrific matchup. Two guys who've been underappreciated that aren't underappreciated anymore. And, yeah, if the Pacers can get this game up into the hundreds, which is hard to do sometimes in the playoffs, they stand a real chance.
George Dano.
I agree with David Dennis Jr. and his points about pace and rebounding. I will add to that, though, if you look at Rick Carlisle and what he did defensively, which has been a big problem for the Pacers, as we've alluded to, he started to pick up Milwaukee full court. Those are the minor tweaks that a championship-level coach understands, and I think that Rick is in a better position in the coaching battle. The other thing to me is the big X factor, the Knicks. Like we were talking about drop coverage with Gobert, the Knicks like to run drop coverage, much like Brook Lopez and the Bucks, and Miles Turner was a huge factor in that last series, particularly on the pick and pop. If he starts bombing away from three, the Pacers have a shot in this series.
Mm-hmm. All right. So sounds like this panel split here, right here. Give me tonight. I don't need the whole series picked out. George Zidane, who you got tonight?
I've got the Knicks. I got them in the series, and I got him tonight.
Tim Kalishaw?
Pacers surprise him tonight.
David Dennis Jr.?
Knicks game one and the series.
And Kevin Clark?
Knicks tonight, Knicks in five.
We'll move on. Game seven yesterday, the Cavs closing out the Magic. They had a great comeback early in the second quarter, and then they had the spider web throughout. Donovan Mitchell, 39 in game seven, which followed the 50 in game six. George, what did the Cavs show you? How serious should they and Mitchell be taken going forward?
Tony, what I saw was that we should take Donovan Mitchell very seriously. Donovan Mitchell, even on one leg, is carrying this Cavs team against what I thought was a pretty good Orlando Magic team. Now, they have a fatal flaw, which was their shooting, but Donovan Mitchell just said, you know what? I'm going to put on my cape, put these guys on my back, and I'm just going to score at will, and then when they collapse, I'm going to find the other guys. The other guys sort of let him down, in my opinion, overall in this series. I don't think it'll be enough to beat Boston. I think Mitchell can steal a game, but I like the Celtics to win this one.
Tim, is this more about Mitchell to you or the Cavs?
Oh, I think it's about Mitchell and giving them a chance. I wouldn't downplay Cleveland just because it took them a long time to put Orlando away. Those first four games were kind of crazy routes by the home team, and then the series got serious. But Cleveland, with their size, Mobley had five blocks yesterday. They're going to do some things to Boston that they just played a Miami team that was all beat up and wasn't whole. This is going to be a much more competitive series for the Celtics.
David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, this was about Donovan Mitchell, who is quietly posing up a resume of really incredible playoff performances. We know about the 50-point bubble performances. We know what he did to OKC all those years ago. Now he's had his third 50-point game in the playoffs in his career. 89 points in game 6 of 7. And what's most important is the maturity he showed propping up Darius Garland all throughout the game and then not hogging that ball in that fourth quarter the way he was passing the ball around, showing true leadership. Now, I don't think they're going to go that far against the Celtics team. They're too undermanned, too little on the perimeter defensively. But I think he's going to have a great showing. And this is something that boosts him in the years going forward.
And Kevin Clark.
Yeah, I take Donovan Mitchell a lot more seriously than this Cavs team. There are a lot of pseudo-stars who are on the trade block, and we overrate them. Donovan Mitchell showed he's the real deal in this series. His ability to fight through contact, to take on bigger bodies, I was so impressed. I think the Cavs would have dropped this series if Franz Wagner was better in Game 7, if he hit two shots instead of one shot, if Jalen Suggs hit three instead of two. This was a disastrous shooting series for those guys and the guys around Paolo Banchero, but I could not have been more impressed with Donovan Mitchell and the ability to do what you're supposed to do if you get traded for that many assets, which is put a franchise on your back.
Sedano 16, Kalishaw 10, Dennis 14, Clark 7. Coming up, Dallas Stars on the menu, Caitlin Clark on the menu, Tim Kalishaw, you were at both this weekend. Inside information.
Somebody's working.
I was there. Yeah,
somebody's working.
All right, till next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Never underestimate the heart of a Dallaser in a Game 7. Stars close it out the Knights. Peter DeBoer 8-0 in Game 7. That is a wow. Steely resolve from Ottinger and from the Star reporters who covered the game. You were there, Tim Kalishaw. The other seven delivered this weekend as well. Toronto, Boston. The panel on Friday made a mess of their predictions. You get their mutes. Bruins surviving collapse, exercising demons. You people order egg noodles and ketchup. I say pasta. Tim, Bruins at Panthers tonight, Avs at Stars tomorrow. Which Game 7 winner has the best chance next round?
Well, you said Bruins exercise demons. Now they're going back to play last year's demon, Florida, which is a better Panthers team. The series starts in Florida. I think Boston breathes a sigh of relief and then gets eliminated fairly quickly. Meanwhile, Dallas, Colorado's a great series. Colorado's a terrific offensive team. Dallas, great defensive team. Ottinger's going to have to be the best goalie. Pavelski and Hintz going to have to show up. But the Stars get it to game seven. Pete DeBoer, automatic win.
Uh-oh, what do we have here? The new filter. There it is for the hometown man.
What is that?
Homer pick. Homer pick from Kalisha. David Dennis Jr., how about you?
Who am I to go against a guy who was there? I'm going to agree with the Stars mostly by default here because I don't think the Bruins have much of a chance against the Panthers because offensively they just cannot hold up against that team. The Panthers had four players with 70 goals in the regular season.
70
and
points.
They had, you know, three players that had at least four shots on goal in the first round. They're just too much offensive power for them, and I think they're going to make short work of that Bruins.
Kevin Clark.
Tim Kalisha, does that Stars Arena have Wi-Fi for you to watch the other teams? The Colorado Avalanche might be the best team still in these playoffs. They're the best offensive team for the entirety of the regular season. They can generate offense out of nowhere. And by the way, they just had at least five goals in every single game against the Vezina favorite. This is a terrifying team. I think the Bruins beat the Panthers. I think the Avalanche beat the Stars.
Coach Dono.
Tony, I know there's a revenge factor for Boston, but I think Verhaeghe and Tkachuk are just too dominant at this stage of the game. Now, I do believe the Stars, though. Look at what Wyatt Johnston just did. Young Wyatt Johnston just outscored everyone in that last series. We haven't seen a Stars player do that at that stage of their lives since Dino Cicerelli back in 1981. I like the Stars in this
the
series.
North over Stars, the yeah. Okay. we'll move on. Buy or sell to Caitlin Clark's preseason debut. Tim, you were there. I saw you in the scrum when Clark talked about the transition to playing versus pros. I want your review of that. A big Dallas Wings win as well, but also the WNBA weekend of debuts and games. You know, Angel Reese made her debut. Camila Cardoza made her debut. There were moments that were not televised or streamed on the app. I asked last month when the media were up to the task of the moment of hypergrowth after so many clumsy, insulting exchanges and coverage. Today I ask, is the league ready for the moment? Because we also had the coach, Minnesota Lynx, Cheryl Reeve, live tweeting that the game would not be available and that the league is prioritizing one player over the rest of the league. David, what do you buy, what do you sell from the opening of the preseason?
I'm selling the way the WNBA handled this. To have it advertised on the app that the Chicago Sky and the Mystics game would be there and then nobody can find it and you're only showing the Caitlin Clark game, so the rest of us had to watch on an iPhone grainy footage, which, by the way, hundreds of thousands of people tuned on Twitter to watch Angel Reese and Cardoza's debut. To not have that is a massive, massive fumble for the WNBA, and they need to correct that for the rest of the season.
Kevin Clark.
Yeah, I think that the league office should be prioritizing nothing else except getting these rookies visibility. And it doesn't have to be on TV. It can be on the app. It can be on YouTube. But just get it done. I think there should be sort of a league pass carve out where you can pay and watch every game of Caitlin Clark, every game of Angel Reese. People want to see these women play. They want to see their rookie season. Let them follow along. This is the job for the WNBA.
There are contracts and deals for publication, of course. Could there be a carve-out? I don't know. George Sedano, I turn to you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a carve-out, Tony. I'm not a TV executive. But I will say this. I'll add, actually, to not being ready for the moment. The Indiana Fever coach talked about how Caitlin Clark was at near exhaustion, okay, during that game. And she had to ask for a sub-out, that she needs to do a better job to not allow her to get to that point. So it's not just the big-picture stuff you're talking about. It's also the minutia of how these women are going to be handled game in and game out, because they're as important a group as there's been ever in this sport.
Tim Kalisha.
I thought the weekend was fine. You know why? You want information? You read a newspaper. You see what the newspaper man who was there, see what he has to say about
it. Here we go. He was there.
Here's what he has to say about it. Here's what he has to say. If you watch the first quarter, Caitlin Clark's going to be the MVP. 11 points, 3 three-pointers in 7 minutes. If you watch second half, foul trouble, running into a million screens, 1 for 7 on threes, she's going to struggle a little bit. The reality is she'll be an all-star. She'll lead the league in three-pointers, but she doesn't play on a very good team, so it's going to be a tough...
Now you're making predictions over what's going to happen. I understand. Okay. David, there's a palpable feeling, though. Maybe you would think. I've put that out there. When you see the tweets from Cheryl Reeve, that some people in the league feel the league is prioritizing one over the entirety. It's 12 teams, not just one. How do you feel about it?
I mean, that's absolutely right. Angel Reese is massively popular. She has more social media followers than the WNBA in total. There's no excuse not to have her prioritized as one of the big stars coming out of this draft.
George Zidano, Tim Kalischuk, thank you for your time. You guys have a beef that goes back to 2006 to have a battle over Dennis and Clark. Showdown next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
David Dennis Jr., Kevin Clark, good luck in showdown.
Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million, and I would just told you I did it.
David, does that count as an admission from Tom Brady?
No, it doesn't count as an admission. It's done during a roast when everybody's making jokes. Let's dismiss it like I would like to dismiss the entire roast because it was just so incredibly cringeworthy.
Kevin?
I liked the roast more than David Dennis Jr. did, but I agree it is not admissible. However, he should have just admitted it because he said he wanted the deflated balls when he was playing. It was whether or not it's to an illegal degree. I'm okay with him saying that he did it. Fine.
I'm not a fan of roasts, but I hear where you're coming from, Clark. I'll give you the point. Showdown 2 of J.J. Watt. He said at his charity event that he's open to returning to the NFL if the Texans say they need him. He retired last year for his health and to be with his family. He's 35. Kevin, how serious do you take this?
Very seriously, a double-digit sacks the last year in Arizona. If you say you're going to retire, right, if you float retirement, it means you're already retired. If you float a comeback, it means you're already trying to come back. You do not train to come back unless you're serious about
it. David Dennis Jr.?
I do think he's serious, but I'm, you know, worried. He left because of injuries, and to be healthy, I would like for him to come back to the Texans, but maybe as a coach, defensive coordinator, something like that, to help boost the defense.
Defensive coordinator with no coaching experience? No. If he's saying it and he's training like it, it means he wants to do it. I don't see any problem. We'll move on. Two photo finishes from the weekend. Look at these photos. Look how close. The three-horse finish at the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan's nostril, winning it at the rail. The two cars 1,000th of a second apart at the Kansas Speedway, Kyle Larson's number 5 by a coat of paint on the bumper. That's how close that was. David, what's the better photo? What's the better finish?
It's the NASCAR race, the Kentucky Derby race. Yes, it was the closest since 1947, but this is the closest finish to a NASCAR race ever in the history. It's got to be that one.
Kevin?
Kentucky Derby was 3 wide, not 2 wide. And also, the Kentucky Derby had a straight line, unlike the NASCAR race, which had uneven paint throughout the track. I do not think that qualifies
right?
as a good photo finish.
Look at that. I didn't see that.
Look at it.
Unbelievable.
That's all everybody was talking about.
Wow.
We're doing straight lines from now on, NASCAR.
Kevin Clark.
Straight lines. It's all conspiracy.
I want to draw attention to the Pat Riley press conference that happened on Monday afternoon in which he called Tyler Harrow fragile. He said that Jimmy Butler should not be talking. And I think we've ushered in the roast era of press conferences in sports after Tom Brady's triumph on Sunday. He could have gotten Kevin Hart to call Tyler Harrow fragile. He could have had Mickey Glazer come on and tell some jokes about heat culture. I think this is the future. Say what you mean. Or maybe Pat Riley starts a feud like Kendrick and Drake.
Thank you, Kevin Clark. Bennett Solomon, college graduate. It's good to be a Florida Gator. Forget these guys. I'm keeping the chair warm for you. Congrats, Bennett.